So let's get into it. First, I'm talking with someone new here. Usually I'm recording with either Rompas or Patrick, but Patrick is stuck with meetings with BN Sports, and he didn't watch most of the games here, or he's, you know, he has a lot of catching up to do. So I decided to bring on someone new just to record something, to get, you know, to get all the good feelings out, because the game against was a great one. But we're going to break down the Cholos game. We're going to break down the Juarez game. Alex, before we get into it, if you want to just introduce yourself, how did you become a fan? Those are always good stories those are always good stuff to hear. But go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for having me. My name is Alex. You know, I've been a Rayados fan since as long as I can remember. I grew up watching the games with my dad. That was pretty much how we got close, you know. How can I say this? It's like, it's one of those things that the family always brought together, you know?
Yeah.
It's like every Saturday, you know, like carne asada, you know, watching Monterrey's game, you know, watching La Liguilla. It was just what brought the family together. So ever since then, I've been, you know, a Rayados fan. So I'm 24. So, and I have like memories from like, you know, like the first campeonato back in 2003. The lost ones, all of those, you know.
So that's all good to hear. It's always good. I always like hearing those. But let's get into the two matches, because as everybody knows, Monterrey's kind of been struggling offensively, and it bled into the game against Cholos, where they struggled to find goals, especially because Vincent Janssen was out for that match. Mm-hmm. I believe he was out for that match. And then they went with Platan Alvarado. I pulled up the starting 11. So in goal, Jeru Gonzalez. On the back line, you had Edson Gutierrez, Cesar Montes, Sebastian Vegas, Jesus Gallardo. In the midfield, you had Matias Canavita, Eric Cantu, Ponchito Gonzalez. Up front, you had Dorlan Pavón, Aviles Hurtado, and Maximiliano Mesa. So it wasn't Platan Alvarado, striker. It was the match before. There are all so much that we got to talk about. But so let's talk about the starting 11. I know we were all excited to talk about the game against Juarez, but we got to talk about this game against Cholos, where, I mean, the midfield was non-existent for the first 30 minutes. There was no connection between the defense and the attack. Whatever, you know, this incarnation of Monterrey's midfield, I don't think should ever be shown again, just because there was just no connection. But what did you make of the starting 11 for this fixture?
I mean, for what we had on the bench, you know, like we talked before, like I'm really disappointed of how, like, sometimes Janssen does not take the credit. I guess the chance to be starting, and the times that he does, he gets taken out, like either like first half, or he only lists like the last 15 minutes. For what we had, you know, like Funimori was injured, and you know, it seems to be okay. One of the things that I really do not like, I guess this is more a personal thing at this point, I haven't seen Craneviter being the one that he was last season, you know? Like, he's always disconnecting. He's always, like, losing the ball, like, midfield. I guess I'm expecting a little bit more of him. So that's, out of the 11 that we had starting, the only thing that I was not really happy about it was Craneviter.
I mean, to me, I don't know what people will expect. He's a defensive midfielder, and I kind of talked about this with Rompas. He's the type of ball, the person that's going to be able to, and you know, just because he's the type that's going to recover the ball, he's going to try to you know, push the ball, not push the ball forward, but like try to look for that pass and try to just be that one that starts the, you know, when you start the car, he's going to try to start the attack. And I think Rompas is pointing out plenty of times is that he works well with Charlie Rodriguez, I think he said, if I'm not mistaken. And then that Celso Ortiz works good with Jonathan Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know what people expect from Corona Vitor, but I think he's been pretty good. And we're going to talk about the game against Juarez. But for me, he's been solid. Like, he's not going to – he's a defensive midfielder. It's not, those aren't – it's the same thing with Maxi Mesa. Maxi Mesa is not a goal scorer. Like, I don't know what – right. I know they paid a lot of money for him, but you got to understand that wingers aren't – you know, unless they're, like, game changers, they're not going to be scorers. They're going to be asked to generate chances. And again, I hate to, like, bunch both games together, but we'll see with Maxi Mesa. But, again, against this game against Cholos, you know, it's just going to – is just – he's a defensive midfielder. That's not a sexy position. He's not going to be, you know, breaking – you know, not going to break – you know, he's not going to be launching balls or you know, just because I – you know, Granovitor came from St. Petersburg, so and he played with Leandro Paredes, and I, just being a PSG supporter, I connect those two because they both play that defensive midfielder position. And it is just be a destroyer, grab the ball. If you have that capability of, you know, being able to break down the line, or, you know, find that, you know, just if there's two defenders and you can just, like, you know, get the ball through and jump start the attack, that's great. But I don't know if that's what Granovito is capable of, but he can recover the ball. He has, I think against Cholos, he went 4 for 6 on the long passes. So I think, you know, that's not sexy. That's not what people, you know, if you expect him to do more, he's not going to do more. But that, for me, for a defensive midfielder, that's what I expect. Someone that can win his duels, recover the ball, try to start the attack, not necessarily, you know, generate chances, but just be that, you know, person that can start the engine. But yeah, I mean, going down this match, I mean, it wasn't those first 20, 30 minutes. They were, I mean, it was frustrating.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, and Eric Cantu, I mean, and I talked about it last week with Rompas. When you're a young player and you're playing for a team with, like, a lot of expensive talent, you don't necessarily have to come in, hit the ground running, but at least show some signs. Just show show you have potential. You know, anybody that's from 18 to 20, 21, 22, they're going to make mistakes. It happens. Young players are going to make mistakes. And it's just a part of the growing process. If you're going to kill a kid for making a mistake, then I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, just during your time, just show you have something so people can give you more opportunities. And for me, Eric Cantu didn't make the most of it. You can, him and Edson Gutierrez, And I don't know who's pointed this out, but that wasn't a very good idea to put two young players, you know, in there and have them try to connect with Maxi Mesa. And that's where Stefan Medina would have been helpful, maybe with Cantu having a veteran presence, but you're asking two young players on the right side to try to connect, and that just wasn't happening. But what did you make of that? Those first 30 minutes of just awful football, because there was just nothing being generated on that. Because I'm just trying to recollect that game, because it was pretty bad those first 30 minutes, where it was like nothing. Like the defense couldn't connect with the attack, and everybody was, if you're on social media, everybody was being angry. But What did you make of those first 30 minutes? What were some of the key points that were concerning for you? Because it made what I thought about is that everybody's arguing about the forwards, strikers, whatever, but the midfield having no connection, having players that can't break down lines, having nothing being created out of there, and no connection between the defense and the attack. that's more concerning than who plays striker, because if you can't get the, you know, if your defense and your attack can't connect, then, you know, you're going to be in trouble. But what did you make of those 30 minutes?
Just like not moving away from the 30 minutes, but like if you notice, like the whole game was pretty much like it was a dirty game. It was like it was not a fluid game. You had like little fouls over here, fouls over there. Like it was 16 per team, you know. So like I feel like the game at first it was stuck, kind of like in that transition of like, let's see who kicks the, like, you know, they were just kicking each other at that point. So I felt like, and Ponchito had one that was like he tried to do, he tried to straight up go with his left foot. He had it with the right one, you know, like where he either he's lagged or something like that. But yeah, it was really not a fluid game. I was watching it with my dad. My dad was frustrated, like you said, like in social media. He was like, "We cannot move from here. What is going on? Like they're not doing anything." It was just frustrating to keep watching them struggle to pass the ball, you know.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, again, I don't want to, you know, I'm trying not to bunch both games together, but when the team is struggling to score goals, they had to make, you know, the most of their chances, and missing, you know, you touched on the Ponchito one tonight, and it just came back to my mind when he missed that opportunity.
Yeah.
When a team is struggling and you're missing those clear-cut chances, those kind of stick out more than they would when your team is scoring six goals. So
yeah.
That was an issue. But they were able to score on the counter. You had Dorlan Pavon and Avila Surtado and Maxi Mesa all, you know, you just combined for that goal where Dorlan Pavon kind of kick starts it. Then it's just between Maxi Mesa and Aviles, and they're able to get the goal 1-0. It seemed like, you know, I think they were just trying to try to hold on to that lead. And then this is where a lot of people were kind of questioning Javier Aguirre when he decided to go three at the back, or at least have, you know, some people were assuming it was a back line of five, but if you listen to his press conference, he kind of explains his decision to bring in Nico Sanchez, who I don't think it was his fault, but it's one of those things that, of course, it happened. It had to happen in Nico, where the ball kind of,
yeah,
it just ricochets off of him, and it leads to the Cholos goal, you know, in the dying minutes of the match, where it just ends up being a draw 1-1. But what did you make of when Aguirre decided to go, what many people thought was a back line of five, but if you listen to his presser, he explains that he wanted, and he took out Edson Gutierrez. He brought in Miguel Layún. But the reason he went with the back line, you know, three center backs, is because he wanted to have Miguel Layún and Jesús Gallardo, who were his two fullbacks, and you know, for that duration of time, he wanted a more offensive minded attack. So what many people thought was a back line of five was actually just a back line of three, with, you know, the fullbacks converting into wingbacks, because their sole purpose was just try to get the second goal, and they somewhat did. The ball went off of Vincent Janssen, but it was called back because it went off his arm, and yeah. But what'd you make of that decision to go back line of what people thought were five, but in reality it was a back line of three with the fullbacks converting into wingbacks?
Yeah, in all honesty, I thought he was completely gonna, you know, he was gonna try to go to save the 1-0, go home with that. Whenever Layún and Nico went in, but like as the match kept on going, and like you said, it's hard to say that it wasn't Nico's fault, but it really wasn't. Like, you cannot blame specifically, because like he tried to get it out. It just unfortunately landed on the Cholos player. It did feel like he was trying to protect the 1-0. And he kind of, like, you know, had those Mohamed flashbacks a little bit. It's like trying to covered like just the one goal, it's really not gonna work out that well. Yeah, other than that, it's
when I saw Nico Sanchez, I kind of, like everybody else, thought it was gonna be a back line of five. But when I heard his presser and I thought about it, it's like, okay, yeah, he brought in, like, even, you know, he's more offensive minded. And then Jesus Gallardo is obviously offensive minded for his position, and then it's like, okay, yeah, it wasn't necessarily a back line of five. He wasn't trying to park the bus. He was trying to get the second goal, but it didn't happen. But 1-1, obviously everybody was not in the mood. Everybody was angry. But then let's transition over to the game against Juarez, which when we're recording this on a Thursday evening, that game was much more enjoyable. It started out frustrating first because the two scoring there was plenty of scoring chances. Two of them hit the post, both from Funes Mori and Vincent Janssen. Let me go back and do the starting 11. So against Juarez, you had a back line of Nico Sanchez, Sebastian Vega, Jesús Gallardo, and Miguel Layún. In the midfield, you have Charlie Rodriguez, Matías Canavita, and Ponchito González. And out up front, you had Vincent Janssen, Rogelio Funes Mori, and Maxi Mesa. It looked like it was they weren't showing, or, you know, some of the stats they didn't. Some of them were saying it's a 4-3-3. Some of it was 4-3 or 4-4-2, or some other ones were a 4-3-1-2. Whatever would have you, this formation clicked.
It kind of
did. Like I was saying, yeah, and like I was saying, the first 20 minutes or so, they were able to generate a lot of scoring chances. They were able to get two goals in that first half, but they should have been up by more. It's one of those Monterrey things where, you know, for as long as the last maybe 2-3 years, where they just don't take advantage of all their scoring chances, and they have a hard time just, you know, easily jumping out to a 2-3 goal lead, within the first 20-30 minutes. They were able to come away with two goals. But what did you make of that first half where Vincent Janssen got the first goal, Ponchito González got the second goal, and obviously Ponchito had to leave a bit early. I think it was at the 37-minute mark due to an injury. Mm-hmm. When like I said, we're recording Thursday evening. I think, I'm not sure who said it, but Friday they'll have, a diagnosis of what's actually wrong with Ponchito, and if it's serious or not. But yeah, what did you make of those first 45 minutes where, you know, Monterrey went up two goals?
I mean, I was having a blast, you know. This is like the kind of Monterrey that I like watching, you know, like the one that generates, the one, of course, I want them to score. It's like, it was like, what, second 55 and Janssen like hit the first pole, and then like 30 seconds later Funes Mori did the same thing, and it was this exact same post. You know, like you saw Charlie Rodriguez generating more, like moving more. That's one of the things that I liked about this game, that, you know, like in previous games, Charlie Rodriguez was pretty much banished from the field, you know, like he's on the field, but he's actually not doing much. Like, you know how people have been saying that he stayed in Qatar and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed the first 25 minutes of the game, of the first half, because it was Monterrey generating, making good passes, like getting to the goal area. And then after those 25 minutes, you're like, we're back at it, you know, like, what is going on? Are they catching up? You start questioning, like, are they too comfortable at this point? Like, it's a two-goal lead. What's it going to happen? And then Juarez scores, and you're like, wait a minute. We're holding into, like, you know, it's the same story like the whole season where you're up, and then, like, you try to, like, step back a little bit. They score on you, and, like, Now you have to hold the whole game, you know, into that small lead that you have.
Yeah, and towards the end of towards the end of the first half, Juarez was able to get one goal back, and that's where, you know, you take a look back at the first 20 minutes and Monterrey missing all those. I think they had at least maybe four or five chances where they should have found the back of the net, along with the two goals that they scored. And they should have been up, maybe already up three or four goals at least. But then when it's 2-1, you kind of take a look back and realize, like, damn it. Hopefully they don't come back to tie this game. And if they were to tie the game, everybody was going to look at the missed chances in those first few minutes where Juarez just, they were bad defensively. And they were bad defensively throughout the night, as we'll get into. But what did you make of that first goal from Juarez? I know a lot of people, I don't know what he was doing there, but it went off of him, and then Hugo Gonzalez one-on-one with, I'm not sure who scored the goal, Lescano, he's the one that got the goal. He's one-on-one with him, and, you know, he's not able to stop it, and it goes in the back of the net. Where do you place blame on that? Because I know there's some people saying for me, it's just Hugo Gonzalez was, I don't know where I stand with I don't know. Hugo Gonzalez is Hugo Gonzalez at this point. It is what it is at this point, and I'm just not gonna be like that. I'm not gonna make, you know, frustration over it. Like, it is what it is with him already. It happened. You know, I guess as we go along, it's like, it is what it is there. They got the goal. But at that point, people were just hoping that this just didn't come back to bite them, because, you know, Bravos really didn't do anything. It was more Monterrey, you know, inflicting injury upon themselves and giving them that goal. What did you make of that first goal with Juarez? Who do you place blame there? Between Max, I mean, it's both their fault, but if you want to just go, what percentage, who has the more fault in this first goal for Juarez?
It's hard to, like, throw somebody under the bus on this one. I was watching the game on ESPN, and the people there that were saying that it was like a great assist from Maxi Mesa, because, yeah, like you said, what was Maxi Mesa doing there? It was kind of like, I don't know, if he tried to kick it to the other side of the field. And it just happened to bounce right in front of Hugo Gonzalez. I think that Hugo Gonzalez, I'm not a big fan of Hugo Gonzalez, you know, because, you know, of things that had happened before. But I feel like he did what he could. You know, like, if the ball was right in front of him, he guessed what the play was going to be. It was just way too close, you know. He actually was able to touch the ball, but just, you know, he was way too far in that it was not able to get it out. So if we're gonna put the blame on somebody on this one, I would say it was a little bit more on Maxi Mesa's fault than on Hugo's. That's what I think.
Looking back now, it wasn't a big deal. It is what it is. But in the second half, that's where everything started popping, because four goals came raining down. The first, it was like, I think the 47th minute or whatever. Like, it was like in the first minute or 2 minutes within that first half where I don't know what the hell Juarez was doing there. Like, they're trying to clear it. I don't know how it went into their own. I'm trying to, you know, so many goals, I'm trying to remember. Picture it in the back of my mind, but I know the ball went into their own end. I'm not sure if it was their center back tried to clear it, and did a bad job at it with his head. I think
it bounced on his head, and then Funes Mori was able to cop it.
Yeah,
he was going for a full power shot, which ended up being horrible.
He got enough of it. It was a one-touch, you know, it was a one-touch kick. He didn't settle down or anything. It was like, okay, he only got one shot at this. But he got enough of it where it was able to bounce high enough where it the keeper couldn't, you know, really, you know, really, really, you know, make the save. and the defender, whoever that was, to try to, you know, back it up, try to clear it, came a bit late. And Monterrey 3-1, barely few minutes into that second half. And then Jansen got his second goal. I don't have like the minute in time in front of me, but
that one was at 49.
Yeah, okay. So it was like really quick strikes. Yep. I remember correctly, because I was creating the GIFs and it was like boom, boom, boom. Yeah. I just heard goal. And then I went back and looked at it. But looking back at that play, to me, the defenders, they were daring Vincent Janssen to shoot. Like, they were like, okay, this guy, I don't know if it was just something that they, you know, saw in film or whatever, but they were daring him to shoot because they gave him time and space to get the shot off from outside the box. And I don't know I don't know, again, I don't know what the hell the keeper was doing there, but he was just one of those shots where he just stood there and watched it go in. But what did you make on that play? Because for me, I just saw two defenders that were just like, okay, we're not going to apply pressure. We're going to let you shoot because we probably don't think that you're going to get off a good shot. So but what did you make on that play? What did you make of it? Because like I said, you know, they decided to give them the time and space to get off that shot.
Yeah, whenever he was getting ready to, like you said, like there was no pressure on Jansen on that play. And it was, I think it was either two, I think it was three defenders that were in front of him.
Yeah, it was two or three. They were just like, should we go? Should we apply pressure? But I think that's when Jansen was like, okay, you're not gonna apply pressure to me. I'm going to get this shot off. And he did, but go ahead.
Yeah, and then I think one of the things that the goalie was not able to see, like where the ball was at that point. So he was just like, you know, standing in there. So that's the reason why I think he just stood still, you know. And also because I think I saw one of the recaps and where the angle was from behind the goal and the ball actually took like a curve. I don't know if it was like if a defender touched it or that's the curve that the ball took after Jansen shot. So either the goalie could not see where Jansen was shooting or he thought the ball was going to completely go off. But yeah, they were not applying. They were like, there was no pressure on Jansen on that play. And then again, you pretty much see like how bad the defending of Juarez was doing the whole match. So like, you know, Monterrey could have gone with more goals in this game. But yeah, that's one of the things that I realized. Yeah.
So let's go on to the fifth goal where Dorlan Pabon came in for Maxi Mesa. And I think it was a counterattack too. It was a counterattack. I mean, I'm trying to remember if it was off a mistake or anything, but it was a counterattack. And pretty much, I think it was like the 2-on-1 or whatever. But as soon as, you know, instead of going for the shot to try to beat the keeper, Dorlan Pabon, you know, sees Funes Mori unmarked and he just puts it on a platter for him and he heads it in. That one, I mean, to me, and I'll say this, I know Dorlan Pabon gets a lot of slack from people, but I like him as a substitute, you know. Yeah. bringing him in 30, 25 minutes. And I mean, I talked about it with Rompas, Dorlan Pabon is no longer, he shouldn't be a winger, because when you're in your going to your mid-30s, your legs aren't what it used to be. And then if everybody remembers, you know, when Dorlan Pabon arrived, he was firing shots from outside the box. He had the pace. He was a really great player. But as you age, you know, the speed, you start to get a little bit slower. You're not as you know, not the dribbles aren't going to be there. But yeah, it was I liked him as a substitute coming in for Maxi Mesa the last 20 to 30 minutes. What did you make of that goal, and what did you make of Dorlan Pabon's performance in those about 30 minutes or so that he was in there for Maxi Mesa?
Yeah, one of the things that I did notice about that is whenever you have like Yun and Dorlan on the same side, Layun kind of pulls back a little bit and he's really not that comfortable in that position. At least I have noticed that. And yeah, like you said, I don't see Dolan Pavon as a 90-minute player anymore. You know, like, he's a perfect substitution. Like, you know, you have that player that can make a difference, not as a full-timer, but, like, you know, it's like you need a little bit more of, like, I wouldn't say fresh legs, but, like, kind of, like, for the,
you know,
players
he,
that are currently on the field.
He can do something. He's able to do something. I mean, there was a shot where, I know Rompas touched on it on his live, but, you know, he had an opportunity to get the ball to Jansen, but he decided that. And then I understand why he went for it. I mean, he was one-on-one with the keeper, but he didn't beat the keeper for the goal. It is what it is with him, but at least, you know, he can give you spurts, and if you need some type of, you know, juice in your offense, at least you can get 20, 30 minutes out of him. But those 90 minutes or 70 to 90 minutes, he can't do that anymore.
And one of the things, is there like another player that you can put there besides him or Maxi Mesa?
I think you could put Layún. Layún can definitely be a winger. I don't know how effective he is on the right side as a winger. I know they sometimes put Layún as a midfielder, you know, as a wide midfielder, but I guess box to box, but more on the wide side. But aside from him, not really. Aviles Hurtado is more of a left winger. And Gallardo can command that left wing side. But not really. It's really kind of turned into Maxi Mesa's position, as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, where, yeah, Maxi Mesa is the right midfielder, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it's definitely his, and Pavon is more now. I don't know if it's by coincidence or if it's by design, but we're seeing Dolan Pavon become more of a substitute here and no longer a key figure in the starting 11. But I mean, I like it. I mean, we know Maxi Mesa can't give you 90 minutes as well. He can give you maybe up to 70 minutes. And then to have maybe Dolan Pavon give you something in those 30 minutes, whatever that would be. At this point, it is what it is with him. He's not the player he used to be. But maybe in those 30 minutes, he can give you one or two scoring opportunities, whether it's by, you know, creating chances or assisting like he did here in the Funes Mori goal. But at least, you know, he has something in him that can give you 30 minutes. Sometimes it won't be as consistent as people wanted it to be. But if hopefully this is the offense clicking and Dolan Pavon can just come in right along, or, you know, be inside the bus or the offensive attack and just contribute in, you know, the 20 to 30 minutes that he's on the pitch, because that's what he's going to be. But he might get some starter stuff from. He might get some starter minutes as rotation becomes more of an importance. Yeah, there's still a doble jornada next week against León, and then next month you really start to like rotate squad because you're gonna have to balance the league and the CONCACAF champions. So yeah. it's he's gonna see his minutes, but for the meantime, I think he's best served as a substitute coming in 20, 30 minutes for Maxi Mesa. But yeah, I think that's his role now, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. Like I said, he'll get some starting minutes because the squad's going to be it's going to need rotation with when there's, you know, double matches within a week, and then you have the CONCACAF champions. But anything else you wanted on that part?
No, I agree with you. I'm pretty sure he's going to see more. He's going to be starting in the CONCACAF Champions, that's for sure. Mostly because either it's, like you say, either it's a coincidence or Aguirre knows what he's doing. He's kind of not giving him a lot of, like, overwork or overload because he wants him to be, like, you know, for the CONCACAF Champions, have, like, a full squad, you know? Like, he doesn't want to go out with, like, full youth or full, like, reserves. Like, he wants to go, like, he wants to balance out the squad.
Yeah,
it's either that.
No, like I said, he'll get his minutes, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's either that or, you know, completely that he's either, like, giving just the last 30 minutes of the games, which I agree with you. He's an amazing as a substitute. He just can no longer give his 90.
Yeah. And let's talk about the last goal. After the fifth goal, it was, you know, there wasn't any doubt that Monterrey was going to walk away with the win and 3 points. So they took both of those, Funes Mori and Jansen out just to avoid an injuries, which was a smart decision. I mean, I know people, some people were wanting to keep him out there, maybe get the hat trick, but to me, Jansen and Funes Mori coming off of injury. I know Jansen was more of a ham, but, Jansen's been injured, for the majority of his time in Monterrey, and Funes Mori was coming off an injury, and you don't want to, the outcome was already decided. Don't force feed it. Don't play with fate. Get him out of there. Don't risk an injury. And so they brought in, Plátano Alvarado, the kid, scored, he scored the best goal of the night despite playing. Maybe he scored it. So he took the pass. I'm not sure who it was from. I don't have it in front of me.
It was from Rodriguez.
Yeah. Because I seen Felipe Galindo comment on that, and I pulled it up, and yeah, it's Charlie Rodriguez. 83rd minute. He took that pass. You know, brought it down with his chest. I think the Juarez defender was playing the ball. If I'm not mistaken, if I have it in my head, the Juarez defender is playing the ball instead of looking at what Plátano Alvarado is going to do, or it's the other way around. I'm not sure. I don't have it in front of me, but
that he got the ball and then either he bounced on his chest and then with his right foot he pulled it up. That's whenever he left the Juarez defender out of the play.
He did one move. He brought it down with his chest. Made one cut, but what I'm saying is I think the Juarez defender was either I think he was playing the ball. He was looking at his feet rather than looking, playing, Plátano Alvarado rather than trying to, like, be, disturbance. He was caught looking at the ball, and then he does one move, and he's by him, and then he gets off, the shot, and he beats the keeper, and But that's for me. That's what the kid needs. He needed that type of goal. A lot of people have been on him, saying if what people say he is at the youth level. But yeah, I mean, give him those minutes to try to gain confidence, and then hopefully this is just the start of not many goals, but at least confidence. Because when he comes in, it doesn't seem like he's confident enough. And like I said with Cantu, you want your young players to at least show you that they have, they have that potential to be something. And unlike Cantu, Alvarado kind of showed you what he can do, especially, you saw a little bit of when he's confident of what he can do. Yep. And I'm hoping that can, it doesn't have to be, obviously he's a goal scorer, but just hopefully that develops into confidence and he can be, because like I said, it's gonna be a lot of squad rotating. It's not gonna be just here's your standard starting 11. No, once next month comes around and hopefully Monterrey goes all the way to the final, it's gonna be squad rotation. You're not gonna use the same starting 11. And so if he can use this goal, use this confidence that he probably has now, and translate that, just keep playing like that, and hopefully the goals are going to come. He's going to be a really good asset, as one game he can probably be in the starting, the double striker, because I think they're going to go with the double. I think they should keep going with the double striker. I know some people have some opinions on that, and I guess I can ask you a little bit about it. But what did you make of the Alvarado goal, and what do you think? Do you think it translated to confidence? Because like I said, there's going to be a lot of squad rotating, and hopefully, I'm guessing he's going to want to be relied upon. He's going to say, hey, I can handle the 20, 30 minutes, or I can handle a start if you need to give one of Jansen or Funes Mori the day off. But what did you make of the goal, and it translating into confidence for the kid going forward.
The goal was amazing. You know, it was like the cherry on top of like the whole game. You know, you have all your three strikers scoring. You know, like as a youth player, you have to take the chances that you're given, you know, because like having Jansen, having Funes Mori, having Akelova as your like the people that you're like under, it's like you don't get that many chances to play. So like if you have to show that you're capable of like being like a starter. I think it was against Necaxa that he started the game. He was like really not, he was very uncomfortable in the field. That's how I felt he was. And like having the chance to score a goal like this on a match where like, you know, the Monterrey dominated the whole match. It gives the player, you know, like that, what he needs, that confidence, like you were saying. And also like, if you think about it, he gives the confidence to all of the strikers. Funes Mori had like, you know, he was coming up from the injury and he had not scored in a while. We have Jansen as well on game against Cholos. He had a couple of chances that he didn't score. And like for them to be like Jansen going home with two goals, Funes Mori going home with two goals, we got Platano going with one. You know, like that builds up the confidence for the players to be like, you know, like I can do this, you know.
Yeah, especially considering this offense was so bad and they've only scored once. You know, it was the first game against Atlas where they scored more than one goal. And, you know, the fan base, the squad, everybody needed this type of game. And it's been a while since Monterrey had this type of game where it's like they're going to impose their offensive will on a team that is inferior. Like, it's been a while. Like, it's like I want to say the last time they did this was in, I think, 2019, the Apertura, where they beat Pachuca like 5-1. Or, you know what? No, my bad. When they beat Lobos, it was like really bad. It was like 6-1. So it was. I think it was that Lobos game where they just destroyed them. But you know, it hasn't been as consistent as it used to be, where they'd be beating bad teams, you know, 4-0, 5-1, 6-1. Those type of games where they would impose their offensive will, and you have to go back to like the. You know, the Pato Sanchez, Edwin Cardona days, where they were just, you know, imposing their offensive will on the bad teams, whether it's like the Veracruzes, the Chiapas, or whatever. But, you know, hopefully this is the start of more games. Like, it's obviously not every game's going to be 6-1, but as we've seen in the past, they struggle with bad teams that they should just be picking up 3 points. Like, they struggled when Cholos was bad last year. They lost 2-1 to them. They drew here. They would struggle with like Querétaro. They would struggle with like the bad teams. I think the one against Veracruz where they were like minute. I mean, it was like the bad Veracruz where it was just like, oh, bad. And then they were like minutes away from losing to them. And then Funes Mori got like last minute goal where they would just walk away with a draw. But it's like, it's been a while since they've beat up on the bad teams, and hopefully under Aguirre that comes back, because those are points that you should just grab. Like, it's no question, like, you shouldn't be drawing against the bottom four teams, you know, in the table. So it's like, hopefully as he, you know, over the summer he has more, he builds the squad into his vision, those type of matches where they just, like I said, impose their offensive will on the bad team and then just walk away with the 3 points without breaking a sweat comes back. Because those are missed, and those are always the matches where everybody's just like having fun and having the time of their lives. But last thing, the two striker formation. I know some people have their thoughts on it. Some people say it can work, some people say it can't. Obviously they're gonna go with it next game against Querétaro, which is gonna be at home. What are your thoughts on it? Do you think it can work? Because it's going to be the only way that we're both strikers are out on the pitch. Do you think it can work?
I think it can work. You know, seeing them work, it's hard to tell. I mean, it's because the Bravos defense was just horrible. But I feel like it could work. They just need, not, I would like, they need communication. Like, they need to communicate a little bit better. but I feel like it can work. I saw like some Facebook that were comparing it like with Chupete Suazo and Aldo. I'm like, this is a completely different thing, you know. But I feel like it can work. It's just they need a little bit more games together, because like let's say if it doesn't work against Querétaro, is it just gonna go back to just one? You know, like they needs to be like a little bit more constant. They need to work together and see what they can do. But like I feel like it can really work.
I mean, Aguirre has experience working with two strikers. If you go back to his last job, which was at Leganés, before they sold, you know, his two strikers, I forget their names, but one of them was sold to Sevilla and the other one was sold to Barcelona. Before, mm-hmm. you know, they were sold, he was going with two strikers. So he has experience going with that formation. And so I think he can apply, you know, what he did at Leganés to Monterrey. So I think it's gonna keep going. We'll see. Obviously, you're not gonna expect six goals, but as long as you expect good rhythm, if one or both of them are scoring, I think it's all gonna depend on. I think Maxi Mesa can pull the strings. I gotta look back at like the you know, his positioning at where he was, whether he stuck more on the right side, and you also gotta look at the midfield. Ponchito was doing really great. Xavi Rodriguez looked great as well. I think the whole midfield was great in the game against Juarez. But I think, you know, you're going to see it. I think for the next two games, you're going to at least see it against Querétaro, against León. So, you know, we'll see what happens. This is just take it match by match. But hopefully this is a start of something, because, you know, after the first seven or eight matches where offense was needed badly, they came back, or they, you know, they came out against Juarez and put up six. You know, the first game that they allowed fans in, they see their team get destroyed 6-1. So I mean, it was a great match. It was from one today. It was good. But overall, what are your thoughts heading forward? Just to wrap this up, against Querétaro and León, you know, 6 points up for grabs. So how many do you think Monterrey can get from these two fixtures?
I would say, I mean, it's possible. I know they can go like 6-for-6, but being a little bit realistic, I feel like against León has been playing. It's not really like the León, the champion León.
Yeah, León's bad. They're out of the 12 team. They're not even in the. The league is the league has 12 teams again this Clausura, and they're not even in, you know, they're not in it, even in the expanded areas. Yeah. They're out of it. They're really bad. I think they have only 7 points, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, go ahead and finish your thought.
I feel like I would say being a little bit more realistic. I hope Monterrey wins, of course, but like I feel like against Querétaro it could be like a draw, and against León it will be a win. But then again, we go back to like, you know, trying to get as many points, because we don't want the same thing that happened last season where, like, you know, we were like on fifth place by just like 1 point, and you know they got Puebla kicking you out on repechaje, and you know that didn't end up well.
Yeah, and both of them are home matches. Obviously, you can't really. That doesn't really mean much with no fans. I mean, they should win both games. Querétaro isn't that. You know, I think they're in 12th spot. In the 12th spot, I don't have the table in front of me. And then León is obviously one of the bad teams this year. A part of me wants to say they can get 6 points, just because. But I, you know what? I think they'll go. I think they should beat Querétaro, and I think they'll draw with León. I think that's going to be real. I think they'll go 1-1. One win, one draw. So they'll get 4 points out of six. But a part of me, and maybe it's this is just the high from the last match, but it's like they should get all six, just because I know I know over the last couple of campaigns, León's been one of the best teams. But obviously this season, it's not going the way they're hoping. And you don't want to be that team where they can click, you know, they'll figure it out and wake up. You know, you want to continue to be the teams that just keeps them down. And they should come away with 6 points, but realistically, I think they'll come away with four. But yeah, they're going to come away with four. But yeah, I mean, Alex, where can people follow you? If they want to, you know, interact with you on match days.
Yeah, they can follow me on Twitter. That's pretty much where I'm more active at. That's alexantillan__. That's, yeah, we, you know, the whenever we're happy about Monterrey winning, you know, all over the place and, you know, ranting out whenever the team does not work.
Yeah, yeah, like always. That, yeah, it's been a positive last week. I mean, it started off frustrating, but hopefully the win on Wednesday is the start of, you know, great things ahead.
Let's hope so.
Let's cross our fingers, because, you know, the first couple of weeks, it's been frustrating. So hopefully we got through the bad part, and now we're heading into the bright and shiny days ahead. But for Alex, I'm Eddie. Thanks for listening.
Well, guys, welcome to another Rompas segment here in the Rayados 90 podcast, and this time is one of those rare times where it's a bit of a happier review of Rayados games, and this is because it's not every day that you see Rayados score 6 times, and even more weird, so to speak, have them score this amount of goals away. That's something that is not usual. And well, in that regard, we can start by the, just to put everything in context for those who didn't watch the entire game, by the second minute we already had two shots on target, but hitting the post. First, Jansen with a great play by the offense of Monterrey, being Maxi Mesa, that player that we all want to see, the type of passes that are key passes, right? I was gonna say those. I'm sorry. So whatever, I'm not gonna cut this off. It is what it is. Sometimes that type of things happen and just makes me laugh. So you can see the mood that we're in as Real fans because of that amazing W. So first Jansen, then Funes Mori with an amazing shot, also hitting the post, and then Maxi Mesa having another clear chance, and then Funes and Jansen again missing on target. But it was a minute 10, I think, and we already had 5 clear chances to score. I really liked the formation, the lineup, with Funes and Jansen finally understanding each other, not overlapping themselves. I'm sorry for the noise in the background. I'm outside as usual. It was a great performance, obviously, by the offense. I would say that even Ponchito, who scored the second goal, the first one was Jansen, then Ponchito with an amazing pass from Maxi Mesa. That was such a football play. Like, it was quick touches and really careful touches. So it was really good. And then, so we were up 2-0, and by the minute 27-28, Juarez finally got to the game, and they start to create chances. Before that, Ponchito Gonzalez got injured. I really don't know at this moment what's the seriousness of his injury. But it's a shame because he was playing really good the last three, four games. He was being a key player for Aguirre's lineups. And then the substitution was for Aviles Hurtado, who for me, him and Hugo Gonzalez were the worst players on the pitch yesterday. Why Hugo? Because Hugo had only one chance, one clear chance against him, and he touched the ball. But I mean, it's hard not to call him Manos Wangas or Wiggly Hands or whatever you want to translate it to, because he actually touched the ball, but he's not strong enough to freaking detain that shot. And it wasn't even that hard of a shot, but whatever. So that's why I think that Hugo Gonzalez was the worst player alongside with Aviles Hurtado, because Aviles, we didn't saw him at all. He wasn't participating offensively. He wasn't participating defensively. He was just a mess, right? So then Juarez scored. It was a bad touch from Maxi Mesa. Having he tried to attack the ball. I would say like on the wrong side of how you're supposed to. When you're on the right side, you're supposed to try to cover the ball with the right, but facing the ball. He tried to do something weird, and he ended up kicking the ball with the left foot, and then that got. I think it was Lescano who scored the goal, and that got him just basically alone in the middle of the penalty box. So he only just had to push the ball, try to clear Hugo, but it wasn't that hard of a shot, but Hugo even touched the ball, as I said, and he got in. So that was the first half. Then we had another corner kick for Juarez that a defender had a beautiful header, but again the post, but now on our favor. That kind of blew the chances for Juarez, and it was looking like every other Aguirre's 10-year game where you were winning and then you're almost the rival team almost got you at the end, but fortunately for us, the ball didn't went in. Then we went to halftime. Second half, by the beginning, Monterrey showed so much strength offensively and accuracy, which is the key. The definition is what we have been saying, that is the most important part that is lacking, that this team is lacking of, is exactly that definition. Because we were creating chances, we were having a lot of shots on target, but the percentage of actually scoring those chances, it was really low. And now everything that the Rayados shot on target, almost everything got in. We had at least 11, 12 chances, like clear chances, and to have 6 goals, it's just amazing. It's a great percentage now. So then Funes Mori had that one, and then I think it was Jansen again with a cross from Layun that Maxi couldn't handle, and the ball got to Jansen with his right foot. He basically had a lot of faith in him and shot it, and I think the defender kind of moves the actual trajectory of the ball, and that makes it really hard because he got to the net really almost on the corner of the net in the upper side of it. Palos didn't even try to get that ball. So that was the fourth one, and then Funes Mori again with a great chance created. I think the Layun was the one who kind of have a great vision on a pass for Pavon, and Pavon just have the ball to Funes Mori, like, go ahead, man, do this. And Funes Mori with a beautiful header, throwing in Zela almost on the floor level, he got it in. And then for me, the best goal of last night, I'm recording this on a Thursday, a day after the game, the one for Alvarado. That was such a beautiful play, such a skillful play. He controlled the ball with his chest, and before the ball got to the grass, he did this dribble, and oh my god, it was just top notch. That one, you could have the best strikers in the world signing that move. That was really, really special. Then with that dribble, he was alone in the penalty box, and he has this beautiful left foot strike that got to the net. It was the best goal for me, at least, because of the individual way that Alvarado basically scored, right? But again, it's not everything good. It's almost everything good. But again, for me, Avilés Hurtado is showing over and over why he's not supposed to be considered as a trustful player. He was the one that didn't do nothing, absolutely nothing for the team. But there's players, for instance, Pavon, which we all criticize, obviously, then maybe in a game he's not gonna do any assistances or shots on target or something like that. But defensively, he does help a lot to the right back defender. But Avilés didn't even do that. He was just there. He wasn't even, well, basically doing nothing. And again, what I said before about Hugo, so those are the two players that I would really, the only ones that we can criticize, because even the substitutions, even Celso Ortiz, who kind of struggled at the beginning when he first got into the pitch, because he was losing a lot of balls. I think that at least he lost three that could have created chances for Juarez, but the rest of the defense handled it really good. So have his back in that regard. And who else got in to the pitch? Well, I think that Montes got in for Vegas, and Celso for Craneviter, because they were both shown a yellow card. So Aguirre kind of took care of that with those substitutions, and Montes showed that he's basically owning that center back position with Vegas. I think Nico was there just because of the yellow card for Vegas. Vegas is in another level. He's just, everything he does it really good. I mean, defending, he sometimes go forward, go to offensively, and also has a lot of good decisions when he does that. And well, Montes, he's just on another level too. So it's going to be really hard for Nico Sanchez to even play with those two guys doing as good as they're doing right now. I think that the other substitution was obviously Alvarado. Alvarado, I think it was for, the substitution was for Funes Mori, and Celso Ortiz was for Jansen, if I'm not mistaken. And even with the two strikers, the top strikers of the team out, Monterrey managed to create that chance for Alvarado on long cross. I think, again, it was Layun. I think if it wasn't Layun, it was Pavon. It was one of those two guys. And with that cross, he managed to control the ball, as I said, and score a beautiful goal. I think for me is, if not the best, top three best goals at least of the season so far. And it's gonna be hard for somebody to top it, to be more difficult or to be more. Well, you have to like maybe a bicycle kick could top that, but as a play, as actual football play, that was amazing. That was just beautiful. Alvarado kind of showed that he has that, what it takes. We were saying last week's podcast with Eddie that he hasn't shown that, but he showed. He at least gave us a glimpse of why he's being considered. And I hope he has more chances. And I hope, obviously, he does well, because having a Mexican striker of that you can trust, it's always good. It's always good for the team, for the fans, for everybody, because you relate more, obviously, to a Mexican player. So that was basically the overview of how I saw the entire game. And again, yesterday I did this live after the game, and I was saying there also that for everybody who was saying Fuera Vasco, well, yesterday was a bad day for them. I still think that this is not the best Rayados we're gonna see. I think that it's gonna be improving even more, and hopefully it's on this manner, right? That scoring at least 50% of the chances that you create, you're gonna be basically winning every game by at least two or three difference in the final score, two or three goals as a difference on the final score. Again, for me, Maxi Mesa is still showing that he's the best on the pitch for Rayados. Great comeback from Funes Mori after 2 weeks being out. He already has 5 goals, so that's just amazing. Jansen also has 2 goals. Maxi has 2 goals. Akelova and Alvarado and I think that even who else? I'm missing 2 guys that have at least 1 goal also. So the problem for Aguirre was the finishing, and they did it great yesterday, and hopefully this keeps on happening so we can all enjoy Monterrey's W's and actually not being mad all the time, because yesterday everybody on social media was saying that ready to do to have a lot of anxiety and to be really mad because Rayados was gonna play, and hopefully this changes the image or the chip that we all have towards how Rayados was playing. And well, it's just that it's not much to really analyze, because it was a great victory. We all should enjoy it. Maybe those 2 guys that I mentioned, maybe those are the only things that we can point out as bad. But even so, well, Hugo didn't have a lot of work because he was basically not needed. Juarez didn't quite create any clear chances. Aside of the ones that I mentioned, it was only 2, 1 goal and 1 to the post. Everything else was off target, or they haven't even, or they didn't even finish the actual play. Nico Sanchez was really good yesterday, just to say that. He showed that he still got it. But again, it's going to be really hard for him to be on the starting 11 lineup, having Montes and Vegas playing as good as they are. And Gallardo, I really like him too, in the sense of, in the defensive side, he's really coming to his best self. He's really finding that quality that he didn't have before. And to that you can add the fact that he already when he attacks he does it really good. On the right side, Layun. Well, I think that nothing got through Layun defensively. He had a really good backup first it was by Maxi and then Pavon having his back on the 2-1 defensive side for Rayados against Juarez offenders. So Layun did good too. Craneviter, nobody's saying it, but I really like him alone, like as the only five, as we say in football, the only midfielder with defensive skills. He was really good by himself. Chad Rodriguez also got, we kind of saw a bit of what we can see from him back, so Charlie was really good too. Ponchito was doing it good until his injury, and well, obviously Maxi, and offensively Maxi and Funes and Jansen was really, really amazing. So I hope that we can see these three guys more often playing together. Funes and Maxi, that would be awesome. So big shout out to all my rompistas. We have just reached 11k followers on Twitter, at Rompas is back. Big shout out to Eddie, big shout out to Pat, who's always busy. And thank you all for listening, thank you all for sharing, for rating this podcast. Thank you for everything that you guys do. And well, we will talk next week after Rayados Querétaro. And hopefully we can have another W. That would be great. And if you have that W, it's gonna turn everything around, in the sense of the draws that you just had away and at home. You can change the entire atmosphere by just winning this Saturday. But again, we are facing now the toughest part of the tournament, and we're gonna start CONCACAF. So thank you everybody for listening. Have a great weekend.